service, and a woman said that her daughter claims to be an atheist. And I thought, there's no way anybody can be an atheist. God has put the knowledge of himself in everybody's heart. But her reasoning was that there couldn't be a God if he would take her grandpa, her daddy, and her brother, all within the space of a year. But you know what? God is good. And whatever God does is best. We live in a sinful, fallen world, and things happen. And God is still God. And God is still loving and good. And perhaps he took them out so they wouldn't have to suffer anymore in this world. So we just have to put things in God's hands, don't we? And continue to believe that he is so good. He loves us so much. How can we doubt when we look at the gift of his son dying on the cross for our sin? God is love and God is good.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Nikki, you know, sometimes we're just looking for somebody to get mad at.
That's right.
And sometimes we think because we have trouble, there's no God. But if we look at Jesus on the cross, if we look at what Jesus went through, then we have no right to say anything. God the Father laid the sins upon him at the cross of Calvary.
That's right.
And I don't see Jesus getting mad at Father God, do y'all?
No.
Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. It rains on the just and the unjust. Why should we think because we're children of God that we're not supposed to have any trouble?
Amen.
Look what Jesus went through. And so you know what? If God allows something, if he brings us to it, he'll bring us through.
Amen.
Somebody say amen tonight.
Amen.
But we're soldiers in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we're like the... salmon. The salmon swims upstream.
That's right.
You know what? They don't start at the head of the stream. They start at the bottom. They come up.
That's right.
And all they go through and all that the suffering they do, when they finally get to where they're going, they die. Doesn't that sound like us?
Yes.
But unlike the salmon, we've got life eternal with Jesus Christ. We've got everlasting life with a new body in a new place. It'll be a new experience for sure to be in a place where everybody will love each other.
Right.
Praise God. Why can't we start loving each other now?
We can.
Hey, man, I just praise God.
Love
Brother Chris, it's so good to be here with you all tonight.
Yes, it is.
Praise the Lord.
Been looking forward to this. Needed this picking me up tonight. It's been a rough week at work, but I tell you what, Jesus is going to see me through it. Oh, we're glad to come into the house of the
come
Lord
on.
And be able to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
So
amen.
Good to see Brother Earl back with us tonight. He's been in the hospital.
Yeah.
My brother, so glad to have you in church tonight. So good to see the Waggers back with us tonight. They've been traveling.
Amen.
And I'm sorry, sister. What?
Rachel.
Got it.
I'm bad with names, but I apologize.
Do you know what Rachel's thinking about doing?
What's she thinking about doing?
Driving to Stark and bringing Lewis to church.
Oh. Wow. Praise God.
So we'll see.
Amen.
I tell you, one of the blessings I've had, one of the many blessings I've had at Glad Tidings, was our baptism, and to see Brother Earl come up on that elevator and get out of the chair and walk into the baptism.
Lewis.
Brother Lewis. Well, I always call him Earl. I'm sorry, Brother Earl. And to see him get baptized. There were six of us got baptized, and what a day that was. I'll always remember that. And thank God we've got a baptismal now that we can start baptizing. If you haven't been baptized or you want to get baptized, just let us know. We'd be happy to hold you under the water for 5 minutes.
So nice to have that thing fixed and up and working again, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So many good things is up and running good. I just
got a nice heater on it where it could be nice and warm when you get your toes down in there in it now.
Well, Nikki and I are living here at Glad Tidings in our motorhome. And, you know, the thought has crossed my mind that maybe sometimes at night we could just come and enjoy the spa. Hey, I want to thank the Lord tonight for Brother Gene being here. I consider Brother Gene someone that God is working with and drawing him closer to himself every week. And
amen.
Brother Gene, we just happy to have you, and we're going to get your wife in here one of these days, and she'll get hooked just like you are. But, you know, I want to be hooked for Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. The Holy Ghost put the hook in my mouth and reeled me in. October 28, 1987, I've never been the same.
Amen.
I'm just happy. Brother James, what do you want to say?
I just want to say that I'm glad that I've been coming to this church.
Amen.
You know, everybody in here I get along with.
Yeah.
I like the church. And I sure love to hear you preach.
Bless your heart.
It's like going to your own home, your own house, or something like that here.
Amen. Well, you just...
without Jesus, it wouldn't be nothing anyway.
That's right, Brother
Jim.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Jim. Well, you just seek the Lord with all of your heart. Come to church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself, as a manner some are. And I always figure that it's a privilege to be able to come to God's house.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And He's working on us. He's working on our church. Amen. You know what God showed me today?
What?
He showed me without a shadow of a doubt that He is purging and cutting the branches off. He's cut us back pretty good so that we can blossom out and bring forth more fruit like the rose bushes.
Wonderful.
If you don't cut a rose bush back, you're not going to get the kind of roses you want.
That's true.
You don't cut a church back to where it can start off holy and pure, then it's not going to produce the kind of fruit that God wants.
Amen.
Oh, I'm just ready to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Fred?
All right. Well, Sister Lena, open this service up in prayer. We'll enter into our praise and worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being here, Father, to worship you and praise you tonight. God, we just pray that you'd bless everyone that's here that needs a touch from you, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, God, just sanctify us and fill us with that Holy Ghost, Lord.
Yes.
Let it be running over. Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, I love you so much. Like Brother Buck said, no matter what we go through, we cannot give up. We need to draw close to you, draw nigh to you, and you
come
said
on.
You would draw nigh to us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for His word because His word is true.
And
Lord, I thank you for having the Holy Ghost in our midst today.
Yes.
Lord, just lift us up, Lord, and let us praise you. Give you the
yes.
praises that you deserve, Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank you for going to Calvary for us and paying the debt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus
amen.
Amen.
Praise
stand
Lord.
And sing Jesus Hold My Hand. It's in your handbooks, 257, or if not, just look up on
as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy heart to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. I tell you what, he won't let go of your hand, but sometimes we let go of his.
We do. Right.
And I'm glad tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That when we're born again, we can receive a baptism that's not of this world.
Amen.
Excuse me. I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost that keeps our hand in his hand.
Amen.
And you know what? You can't go wrong if you got your hand in the hand of the man that calms the water.
That's right.
And you got your hand in the hand of the man that calms the sea. You're going to be all right. I think that the end is going to be better than the beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
That's for sure.
Glory to God. I feel good tonight. You know why? Because I've got air to breathe.
Yes.
I've got my church family. I've got a wonderful wife. I have a wonderful calling upon my life. The Lord put clothes on my back. He put shoes on my feet. He has put he's put everything that I need on me.
Yes.
And even Amen. More.
Amen.
My cup runneth over. Hallelujah.
He's made you a son of the Most High God.
I am a son of God.
Amen.
Are you a child of God tonight?
I'm a daughter of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
I look around and I see how some people just let the devil just pull them one way or another. And then I look out there and see Brother Earl that's been in the hospital. They've run tests. His cancer spread to his liver. And you know what? He's in church tonight. You know why? Because he knows where he needs to be.
Yes.
He needs to be in the presence of God and God's people.
That's right.
That's where the power is.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost of God.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Mm. We need each other. Amen.
It's hot up here on this place, but.
By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it there by and by. Trial dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. He will guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we and we'll understand it better by and by. Well, by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God gather home, we will tell a story how we'll overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares, often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed. For some thought is worthy, and we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God gather home, we will tell a story how we'll overcome, we'll understand it better by and by.
But you know what? When we get to heaven and we lay eyes on him, we ain't going to think about the past or anything we went through.
So.
We're going to think, glory to God, I'm here and I love my Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. All things will be new.
Amen.
We won't have no stinking thinking, will we?
No.
Hallelujah.
All right.
I like that.
Brother Larry, come on, bring the offering.
Yes. Lord, I just thank you.
Okay.
Can I say the blessing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the way that you provided for our church. God, we just thank you that we are not borrowing money. We are not begging money. But you own the cattle on a thousand hills. we'll be all right. Bless this offering, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of giving and knowing that the money will be used for your purpose. Glory to God. Keep us holy, Lord. In Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my countless friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm praying. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Sing it, Nikki.
Watching
me, I love this, don't we? I sing.
Beautiful song to remind us that the Lord is always watching over us.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving.
Yes. You've set us apart for your good purpose.
Amen.
And Father, tonight as we look into your word, might it strengthen us, might it help us to know who you are, how much you love us, who we are because we belong to you,
yes,
and what you plan to do with our lives. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We have come to trust you through all the things you've brought us through. And we have seen your hand in our lives, Father, and we just give you all glory and honor. We praise you tonight in your precious name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Friday or Saturday, I said to Buck, what are you going to preach on Sunday? And he said, rejection. And I said, that's what the Lord gave me to preach on Wednesday night. And he said, well, you can preach on rejection also. So I said, well, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, then I'll go ahead and preach some more on rejection. Pastor Buck gave us a mighty fine sermon on rejection, didn't he? And how Jesus was rejected, despised and rejected. So when we are rejected, we can draw close to him and know that he understands. But I'm going to talk about the fear of rejection. And Pastor Buck touched on that too, how we do things we normally wouldn't do. We say things we wouldn't normally say. We lie when we don't want to lie, but we are afraid of being rejected if we don't do those things. And so we go ahead, and then we feel miserable. But the good news is that even as Christians, when we do that, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus. And the Word says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is his job. He's making us holy. We're not perfect yet, dearly beloved, but we're on our way, aren't we? Amen. Matthew 10, 28. Let's go there and see what Jesus says.
Amen.
Matthew 10, 28. It'd probably be a good verse to memorize. Jesus says this. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We have many Christian brothers and sisters overseas that have not given in to man. They have not feared man. They've stood up for God. They've spoken the word of God. They have brought people into salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, through their word, their testimony, and they have been imprisoned, beheaded, and killed. Their lands and their properties destroyed, but they have stood firm because they only feared God. They had God as their source, didn't they? Amen. And we do too. We have God. We do not have to fear what man might say or do. Number one, we can be rejected by man. John 2, 24 through 25. Jesus has just been called the Lamb of God by John. He's been baptized, and then he does his first miracle. He turns the water into wine. And you know that those who saw him do that, the servants that brought the water pots, and they saw Jesus turn the water into wine, don't you know they wanted to set him up on a pedestal or something? They wanted to follow him, and his disciples believed. But it says here in John 2, 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew that he could only trust his Father and not give himself over to man. You know, when we are exalted, when people say, oh, you're so wonderful, they're setting you up on a pedestal, but you must not look to man because you know you're going to come crashing down. You can't keep on pleasing man. He'll find something wrong with you somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
We cannot keep on pleasing man, so let's not commit ourselves to people. Isaiah 2, 22 says this. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Why do we set people up on pedestals, huh? They have breath just like the rest of us, and they're going to go back to the earth. Amen?
Amen.
So we are warned, cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. And the similar thing is said in Psalm 146, 3 through 5. It's good to be reminded of all this, that we don't fall into a snare or a trap. Psalm 146, 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. I maybe told you, I was running across the college campus one night. The moon was out, and the palm trees were rustling in the breeze, and I was so happy and so full of knowledge. I had just come from an Asian civilization class, and I knew all about the different dynasties and this and that. And suddenly the Lord spoke to my heart and said, and what if you died tonight? Boom, I stopped dead in my tracks, and I went, oh, and I pictured myself under the ground, and I said, well, it would all go to nothing. All that information in my brain, of what use? Amen? In other words, we don't need to look to man. In Acts 5:29, let's go there. The apostles who walked and talked with Jesus, they saw him on the cross, they saw him rise from the dead, then they saw him rise up to heaven, and he said, I'm coming back. They knew that Jesus was God in the flesh, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so, in Acts, when they started doing the works of the Lord in the power of the Spirit, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of those days, called them on the carpet and said, "You must stop speaking in the name of Jesus." And this is what they said, Acts 5:29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" How could they stand up to men, to the religious leaders of their time, and speak out like that? They knew their God, didn't they?
Yes.
When we know our God and we know who we are, these men had just been baptized by the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other tongues. They showed all those that were there in Jerusalem at the time that a miracle had occurred, because they were speaking in the languages of the different Jewish people that had come to Jerusalem at that time of the year. And they were given power to go out and preach the word of God. And we as children of God have been given the Spirit and given the power to go out and preach the word of God. If we will not fear man, we will only fear God. And to fear God is to be in awe of him, to know who he is, that he is the creator of the universe, that he made me, he made you in his image for his purpose. He wanted family. He wanted us to be one in him. And when you know all of that, when you understand who you are in Christ, you can stand up and speak in love, but speak in power and authority that Jesus is the Son of God who came to pay the price for the sins of the world. You can stand up like Peter and the apostles and say, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So as we listen to the Spirit of God, and if he calls us to do and say things about Jesus in our world today, he'll give us the power and the courage to do that. Even when people tell us, "Stop talking about that Jesus. I don't want to hear about it anymore. You're not allowed to speak that out in the open." Obey God and not man. Amen? Amen. Think of Joseph in church. Children's Church, Camden, and I have been talking about Joseph and what he went through. If you've never read the story of Joseph, it's in the book of Genesis, and you need to go and read that this week to see how Joseph handled rejection. Can you imagine having 10 brothers? Now, Benjamin wasn't part of them, but 10 brothers that reject you. They were all stepbrothers. They were from another mother, but they all had the same father. They all were raised to understand who God was. You know that Jacob told his sons all about God and what he'd done for him. And Joseph really believed and trusted in God. He had two dreams, and he told his brothers and his parents about those dreams. You remember when the sheaves raised up? Bowed down to his sheep, to Joseph's sheep. And the brother said, are you saying that we're going to bow down to you, Joseph?" And then he talked about how the sun and the moon and the stars were going to bow down to him. And his parents said, "Joseph, do you mean we, your parents, are going to bow down to you also?" Now they kind of tucked that away in the back of their mind. Joseph didn't understand, but God had given him two dreams to prepare him, didn't he? Later, when Jacob sent Joseph to look for his brothers and maybe take them some food, Joseph found them, but as he was coming toward them, they said, "Look, there's our brother, the one that our Father loves the most, the one that our Father gave that coat of many colors to. They got jealous and angry over the years, didn't they? And so on this day when Joseph was coming all by himself, they said, let's plan to kill him. We'll get rid of him, and then maybe we'll be more important to our Father. And they put him in a pit. Now Judah said, no, let's not do that to him. And while he was gone, they devised this plan that they would kill an animal and they would put blood on his coat, take the coat to their father, and tell them that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. Well, Judah came back and the Ishmaelites were coming along, the traders, and Judah said, well, let's sell him to them instead of kill him. And so here he was, a 17-year-old, being sold into slavery, taken into Egypt, couldn't speak their language, totally separated from his father who loved him dearly, and he was all alone except he knew his God, and he knew that God was with him. And in Genesis 39:3, I'll just read you that one part, but there's so much more. As you know, Joseph eventually became second in command in Egypt. That could happen to any one of us. We could become second in command in the United States. We could become the president of the United States if God wanted us there. Genesis 39, Exodus 3. Now this is after he'd been sold to Potiphar, who was the officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with us, isn't he? Wherever we go. The Lord was with Joseph, and he, Joseph, was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. As we follow the Lord and we don't fear man, we don't fear being rejected, as we look to the Lord can use us mightily, can't he? Yeah. Amen. We can also reject ourselves. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, ugh, I wish I looked like so-and-so. I wish I didn't have this big nose. I wish my ears weren't pointed. Why are they pointed? I wish I had curly hair instead of straight hair. I wish I belonged to that family over there instead of this family. I feel like I'm not worth anything because of the way people make fun of me, how they reject me, and then we reject ourselves, don't we? Instead of looking to God and realizing that he made us in his image and we're made the way he wants us to be, for his glory, then we can say, I accept myself the way I am because I belong to Jesus and he loves me. He died for me, paid the price for me. I'm special to him. I'm his little jewel. I'm his little pearl. If I had been the only one here on earth, he would have come to seek me and to bring me to himself. Our outer shell is not so important as compared with the soul, with our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Nick Vujicic was born without any arms or legs. He had one little foot that was attached right here at his hip. And if you watch him, he'll wave it at you. Nick has come to know who he is in the Lord, and he no longer feels rejected. He no longer rejects himself. He no longer feels rejected by man, As a matter of fact, he prays for them and forgives them for rejecting him. You know, we don't like somebody that looks funny or looks different than we do, because we're really afraid of being like that. We don't want to be like that, so we put him off in another place. Well, all of Nick's classmates were doing that to him, and he nearly committed suicide, thinking, "Why in the world did you make me, God? I'm of no use. I can't feed myself. I can't bathe myself. I can't go to the bathroom by myself. Nobody wants to be around me. I can't play football. I can't play basketball. I'll never have a girlfriend." And on he went, thinking about how awful he was and wanting to totally reject himself by committing suicide. But one day, now his parents were Christians, and they tried to lead him in the way he should go. But until we really hear from God, it's hard, isn't it? But when we do hear from God, wow, nothing can change our minds. And he read this, John 9:1-3. Chris will put that up on the screen for us all. John 9:1-3. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.'" God wanted to reveal his glory through this blind man, and Jesus healed him and brought glory to the Father, didn't he? Brought glory to himself. Today, Nick Vujicic is not playing football, not playing basketball or baseball, but he's married and has children, and he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the entire world. Amen? To God be the glory. Praise God that he did not reject himself. Beloved, do not reject yourselves. God made us the way he made us. We're partly what we are because of a fallen, sinful world. Our outer shell may not be what God, well, it's not what God created. But one day we're going to get glorified bodies. And what matters is that we are a gem on the inside, that we are born again, that we are full of the Spirit of God so that we can do the works of God. Amen? Amen. Therefore, we will not reject ourselves. And read Psalm 1. I'm not going to read Psalm 139 tonight, but you might mark that and read it over and over and over, and you'll see how special you are to the Lord. He's thinking about us all the time. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He is excited about each and every one of us. And then the third rejection, the biggest fear of all that most of us have, is, will God reject me? And so we labor and work and do works to try to please God. I remember when I first became a Christian and I was trying so hard not to do anything wrong. And when I failed, I said, God, I can't do this. I can't walk this Christian walk. And the Spirit of God came in like a flood and said to me, good, now I can go to work. You all probably know this, that when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit, and it's God that's at work in you, making you into what he wants you to be. Even helping you want to be what he wants you to be. We can rest in the Lord and trust that He's working a good work in us. We can't push it or make it go faster. I remember a friend of mine, she said, I just seem to keep rubbing everybody the wrong way. And she went to the Lord, and He said, there is a season for everything, dear. And He said, I'm using you to shape and mold others, and they're being used by me to shape and mold you. So just rest in me. Trust that I'm using you for my good purpose. And so she was able to rest, not feel rejected by anyone else, not rejecting herself, and not feeling rejected by God. Matthew 11:28 says this. You've probably memorized this. This would be a good one to memorize if you haven't. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stop trying to do all these good works to please God and hope that you'll get into heaven. The only way to heaven is through the shed blood of our precious Savior. Only Jesus can save us, and He's done that. All we have to do is believe and throw ourselves into Him and let Him do His work. He said He'll give us rest. He's our Sabbath rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? Amen. And John 5:24, this is why the word is so important, because when you start doubting and wondering, you go to the word and see what Jesus said, and you say, self, this is what the word says, so believe it because it's true. John 5:24, I have this underlined and starred, and whenever I begin to waver or doubt, I go back to this verse. Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I've told you that I've had mental breakdowns, and one of the dreams that was part of my mental breakdown was that God and Jesus were walking together with their backs to me and walking away from me, and they opened a door and walked through it and closed the door. And oh, the panic that overcame me because of that dream. It was like, God, you've left me, and I'm going to be here on this earth the rest of my life for eternity. And this is a terrible place to be left for eternity when heaven is going to be so wonderful. But you know, the Lord brought me through that. He brought me out. He spoke to my heart. And my faith returned, and my understanding returned, and the Word of God returned and brought me back to my foundation. I did not have to fear the rejection of God. John 6:37. One more that He says. All that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, beloved, let's all base who we are on what God thinks, not what our parents thought or wanted. Maybe your parents rejected you when you were little, and the minute you're rejected today by somebody, you think back to when you were little. Or maybe a brother or a sister rejected you, or a spouse rejected you. I remember when my first husband left. He said, I'm tired of playing house. And he walked out and closed the door. And I thought to myself, why did you give up on me? Why did you reject me? But you know, the problem wasn't in me, it was in him. I turned to God in that situation, and God became my husband. God helped me overcome. And I asked God to forgive me for anything I might have done to cause the split in that marriage. But I know that it was a spiritual split. Because if two people do not walk together in unity, they can't walk together. And because I had given my heart to Jesus and I was born again, and my husband, first husband, had not, we were like two magnets that just kept repelling each other. Have you ever taken two magnets and tried to get them to come together? No way. And he said to me one day, I'm jealous of God, and I know I shouldn't be, but I want you back the way you used to be. I don't like this new you. I don't know you. And so he left. But Jesus never left me. It doesn't matter which man or person leaves us, we still have Jesus, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. So don't give your identity to anybody else. Don't let them decide who you are. Don't you even decide who you are. Only God knows who you are. And when we put ourselves in his hands, we'll become all that we were meant to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You will then become bold to speak for Jesus. You won't fear anything that man can do. You won't have any idols in your life. When we set somebody else up on a pedestal and then they reject us, we get angry with them and we hate them. And those seeds of bitterness and anger go down deep in us. But instead, if we will only have our God as God, Jesus in the flesh, we'll let God be God in our lives, then those people can't hurt us anymore. It'll hurt. I don't mean it won't hurt. We don't like to be rejected. But it won't have the effect on us. Instead, we'll forgive them, we'll pray for them, we'll feel sorry for them, we'll understand that they don't understand. Just as Jesus, when he hung on the cross, said, "Forgive them, Father, they don't understand. They don't know what they're doing." And the same is true for us. If they reject us, we can say, "Father, forgive them." Just like Stephen when he was being stoned. You say, how could he do that? He could because he had Jesus in him. How can people be put on the stake and burned? Because they've got Jesus and he's with them through it all. They can stand firm and not fear man. So if rejection comes to the point of being murdered or killed for what you believe, you'll be able to stand strong if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus and what he's done for you and who you are in him as a child of Christ. Amen? Instead of being angry, you'll love them. And I love this last verse, Ephesians 1:6. Let's go to that. The book of Ephesians is wonderful, and it would be good to read over and over. It really tells us who we are in Christ. And I love Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, we have his grace for whatever we have to go through, wherein he hath made us accepted, not rejected. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. And who is the beloved? Who's the beloved? Yeah, Jesus. Amen. We have been accepted in him. And so when God the Father looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus covering us, and and the righteousness of Christ is in us. Amen? So, when rejection comes, all we have to do is run to the Lord and remember who He is and who we are, and we'll be able to stand firm. Amen. And be strong, be loving, and speak the Word of God as He gives us utterance. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank You for this message tonight. I pray that each and every one has been strengthened tonight, that as they listen to the scriptures and the stories about different people, that they'll think about the times they've been rejected and hurt, and they'll forgive. They'll pray for those people if they're still alive. They'll love them. They'll look for ways to do good to them if that's Your plan. They'll speak Your words. They'll be bold and courageous. They will not fear. They'll be like Peter. We will all be like Peter, Father. We pray for that, that we would be bold and courageous, and we would only care what You think, Father, and that we would stand up for You in the power of Your Spirit. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 Pastor Buck.
Praise You, Lord. Amen. Thank You, Lord. You know, one of the main things that I got out of tonight's message was, I remember how it hurt me. I preached Sunday about being raised by a single mother in school. The children called me a bastard. They made fun of me, and they wouldn't have anything to do with me because I didn't have a daddy and a mom. And that hurt was with me so many years. I mean, terrible hurt. And I've come to the conclusion that no matter how mean somebody is to me, I don't want them to feel the hurt that I felt. I don't want to bring that on nobody else. And so tonight, let's remember, because a person don't look the way we think, don't dress, don't act, they're not in our approval, don't reject that person. Don't hurt them. Don't hurt people just because you can. See, some people have the money and the prestige and the power that they can hurt people at will. And my heart goes out to them because it hurts to be rejected. Don't it? Jesus sat on the hillside and looked. The Bible says He cried. As He looked out over Jerusalem, He cried. He cried. Our Savior cried because that they had rejected Him. He said, "How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers the chicken?" And Jesus wept that night. It was a broken heart, really. So let's don't be guilty. Let's don't be guilty of rejecting anybody. Amen? Would you stand? Brother Chris, would you come? I'm going to ask you tonight to dismiss us for some reason. I want you to do that. Would you do that? I want to say before he dismisses us that we've added another home, and we'll be busing a group of people from Fort Caroline Garden Sunday. Now, you make them feel welcome. Come and shake their hand, love on them, so they don't feel rejected. Because they've never been here before. And I'm looking forward to it. Amen. 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 All right, guys. Well, y'all go out, spread the word this week, and invite somebody to come to church with you, and at your nursing home, or back over at your home, or you know, assisted living, wherever. And those of you in your neighborhoods or whatever, just invite somebody to come to church with you. And let's fill up God's house. Amen. Love you. We won't close out the service. We'll just continue Sunday morning. See you at 10:30.